So Hurricane Milton, huh? Even with it weakening before it actually hit, I mean, let's be real, that was a monster of a storm. I know a lot of you listening are dealing with the aftermath right now, and it's probably pretty overwhelming.
It really is a whole other world once the storm passes. You go from that, that feeling of bracing for impact to suddenly having to pick up the pieces.
And even picking up the pieces feels like, well, a bit of an understatement in this case, right? Hurricane Milton was massive even before it made landfall.
Yeah, no kidding. Imagine, think of a boxer throwing a punch. Got that. Now, picture that same force, but instead of one focus point, it's spread out over a huge area. That's what we're talking about with Milton. The sheer size of it meant a way bigger area got hit. Even places pretty far from where it came ashore felt it.
And then there's the whole slow down thing. You'd think slower would be better, but it actually made things a lot worse, didn't it?
It's kind of weird, right? You'd think slower would mean less intense, but it was almost the opposite. See, that slower pace meant that the storm just kind of sat there right over us, just dumping rain and pushing that wall of water, what they call the storm surge inland, and it just kept coming for hours.
Speaking of storm surge, some of the reports I saw said it was up to 13 feet high. I mean, that's taller than my house.
It's a force of nature, that's for sure. Powerful and incredibly destructive. And then on top of all that, you've got the added factor of all the debris left over from Hurricane Helene. Remember, Helene hit just a couple weeks before Milton's. So now you've got what? Pieces of houses, trees, signs, all that stuff just getting whipped around by these crazy hurricane winds. Turns into a mess of dangerous projectiles.
Oh man, talk about adding insult to injury, right? You've
Yeah.
already got the wind, the flooding, those tornadoes, which, by the way, some of those were happening even before Milton made landfall, which just blew my mind. And now you're telling me there's flying debris too.
It all adds up, creates this kind of compounding effect. Honestly, it's hard to even wrap your head around it unless you've lived through it. And then, that wasn't enough. On top of the physical damage, you've got those widespread power outages.
Yeah, and those aren't just about not being able to watch your favorite shows, right? We're talking about life-sustaining medical equipment, people's ability to keep food safe, work, communicate. The disruption to everyday life is huge.
Absolutely. And remember, we're not just talking about people who were right in the path of the storm. The entire state of Florida pretty much was under some kind of watch or warning. The ripple effects from a hurricane this big, they reach far and wide. It impacts supply chains, businesses, even just families who have loved ones in the areas that got hit. I mean, honestly, even if you weren't directly in the path, chances are you felt the impact of Milton in some way.
It's like those hidden consequences, right? You're just starting to get a handle on the physical damage, and then bam, it hits you that the real work is just beginning. That's when it's like, okay, time to deal with the insurance company.
And that's where things can get, well, you said it, overwhelming. You're already feeling vulnerable, you're exhausted, maybe even still a little in shock. And the last thing you need is to feel like you're fighting with the very people who are supposed to have your back.
Yeah, like it's almost a second wave. You know what I mean? You make it through the storm itself, and then wham, you get hit with the storm surge of insurance claims, paperwork, phone calls. It could be incredibly isolating.
You're not wrong. It absolutely can be. But, that's why we're here. Knowledge is power, especially in these situations. You said you need to deal with the insurance company, but really it's more about understanding your rights and how to advocate for yourself. You're not powerless in this.
So it's less about just taking what the insurance company says at face value and more about being ready to, like, ask the right questions.
Exactly. And that starts with, well, first of all, you got to know what you're dealing with. There are all these different types of policies out there, right? It's not as simple as just having hurricane insurance and calling it a day. You've got flood insurance, you've got your homeowner's policy, commercial property insurance if you're a business owner, and each one has its own, rules and potential traps.
Okay, so that makes sense. But just to break it down a little bit, let's say I'm a homeowner and I've got a tree through my roof. That seems pretty straightforward, right? Like open and shut hurricane damage case.
Seems that way, right? But this is where it gets tricky. This is where you got to read the fine print. Remember that whole wind versus water damage thing we were talking about earlier? Turns out it's a big deal. See if that tree came down because of the hurricane winds and, smashed your roof. Your homeowner's insurance will probably cover it.
But like, what if that same tree, let's say it punctures a pipe on the way down, and now there's water damage too? That changes things.
It could, yeah. If the water that gets into your house is directly from wind-driven rains, so like coming in through a broken window, that's one thing. But if the water damage is because of flooding, we're talking storm surge, overflowing rivers, things like that, that's where flood insurance comes in. And that, well, that's a whole other can of worms.
Wow. So even the source of the water makes a difference. I'm starting to see how this gets so complicated so quickly.
And we're just scratching the surface here. Timing is also a factor. Let's say hypothetically, your roof, it already had a small leak from Hurricane Helene, right? A few weeks go by, Milton hits, and now this tree falls on that same spot, the spot that was already weakened. Now you're talking about trying to figure out which hurricane caused what damage and which policy should cover what. It gets messy.
It's like dominoes almost. One thing leads to another, and suddenly it's not so clear-cut anymore. Okay, I gotta be honest, my head's spinning a little bit. And I bet some of you listening are thinking the same thing. Like, if they're having trouble wrapping their heads around this stuff, how am I supposed to figure it out?
So let's talk about that. What are some things people should be doing right now to make sure they're protected, you know, so they don't accidentally mess up their chances of getting their claims paid?
That is the million-dollar question, right?
Yeah.
And honestly, one of the most important things you can do is, well, it might sound too simple, but document everything.
Wait, seriously, just taking pictures, making notes, that's it. I know, it seems basic. But believe me, it can make or break your claim. Think of it like building a case, right? You're creating a timeline of the damage, showing exactly when it happened, how it happened. So take photos, videos, the more the better. And I'm talking everything, the big stuff, like downed trees, but then also those little details, like cracks in your walls, water stains, anything that seems even remotely related. And don't just focus on the inside of your property either. Get the surrounding area too.
So, like, if my street flooded, snapping a few pictures of the water level, like up against the curb, that would be helpful.
Exactly. Context is key. It helps tell the whole story. Oh, and receipts. Don't forget to keep every single receipt.
For what? Like, just repairs or.
Anything and everything. Seriously, anything related to the hurricane, to dealing with the aftermath, hold on to that receipt. Had to stay in a hotel because your house wasn't livable? Receipt, food spoiled because the power was out. Receipt, had to buy gas for a generator. You get the idea. All of that can be part of your claim.
And this is where that whole policy limits thing comes into play, right? Because it'll only pay out so much.
Bingo. That's why understanding what your policy actually says is so important. Those limits are different for every policy, and they might even be different within the same policy, depending on what kind of damage we're talking about. Like, you might have a certain limit for your stuff, your personal property, but a totally separate limit for damage to the actual structure of your home.
Okay, so document everything, know your policy limits. Anything else?
Yeah, don't be afraid to ask for help. If you're feeling lost, if you're hitting roadblocks with your insurance company, you are not alone. There are people out there whose job it is to help you navigate this stuff. Like the Florida CFO's office, they're a fantastic resource. They can help you understand your rights, make sure you're being treated fairly by the insurance companies. Don't hesitate to reach out.
This has been, well, a lot, hasn't it? We've covered a ton of ground today. But if you're listening to this and you're feeling overwhelmed, please hear me. You've been through something really, really tough. Be kind to yourself. Take things one day at a time, and remember, you're stronger than you think.
Couldn't said it better myself. Recovery is a marathon, not a sprint. It takes time. Lean on your friends, your family, your support network. And never forget, knowledge is power. The more you know about your rights, about your options, the better you'll be able to get through this and get back on your feet.
So well said. And on that note, we're going to wrap up this deep dive for today. To everyone out there listening, stay strong. We're rooting for you.